Well, let's turn in God's Word to Acts 25. In Acts 25, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. Acts 25, verses 1 through 27. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Now when Festus was come into the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me, and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed any wrong, or anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die, but if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay, on the morrow I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come in Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. And when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him." Those are God's words. And Paul, at this point, has been in prison for 2 years. And the Jews again try to get this new governor to bring Paul down to Jerusalem that they might kill him there. And you would think, after 2 years of Paul being in prison, they would have given up, but not these Jews. But Festus sets a trial in Caesarea, and again, the Jews accuse him without proof. And here, finally, Paul appeals to Caesar. Paul's case, through verse 21, Festus lays before Agrippa, which was King Agrippa being the son of the man who killed James the Apostle, and the great-grandson under King Herod the Great, who ruled when Christ was born and caused a great suffering then to the Jews. And so he's not someone you perhaps would want to be ruling over you when you were in prison. And after this, Agrippa desires to hear Paul as well, and this is brought about again to the end of the chapter. The next chapter will show how this unfolds, but know here, beloved, how blessed the Lord's promise that Paul would go to Rome. Remember, we heard that previously. He would go to Rome and be a witness unto many, even now, these civil magistrates, not just Felix, but now Festus, and then Agrippa. And he would call them to repent and covenant with Jesus Christ. And that is our calling as well, to call our civil magistrates to repent and covenant with Christ. And we'll hear more about that this evening as we consider God's word in a moment. Again, let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord. Our Father, and Lord, our help alone is found in your name. When there are troubles and afflictions all around us, you alone are our help. And here we consider, have read about Paul, who's in trouble, in prison. He's been in prison for 2 years, and it has not stopped evangelizing, has not stopped spreading the gospel, has not been broken by the devil, but has resisted him, and which we give praise for. We're thankful for his testimony to us, his godly example as he follows after Christ. And Father, we pray as suffering and persecution are perhaps nearer today than they were yesterday, and as time goes on, perhaps more nearer every day. And Father, we pray that we would be built up and encouraged in Christ and the gospel, that we would not fall, that we would not back down, that we would fight the good fight and finish the race that is set before us, even one that might include suffering. And of course, it does include suffering and persecution, because you say, you promise, that if we are heirs, that we too will be persecuted. And if we are sons, we will suffer together with Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us now, and you would uphold us, even from such physical or verbal attacks that might come our way. That we would know that we stand upon your word, the word of Jesus, your Son. And when that persecution comes, we pray that we would respond rejoicing that we were found worthy by you to suffer for your name's sake. And so, Father, help us in that. And Father, we ask that you would help this church, and you would strengthen us and sanctify us, that our witness before the world would not come to nothing because of our sins. but that we would not look like the world, but we would look like followers of your Son. And by being followers of your Son, that people would see us and they would know that they are not like us because they are not like Christ. That perhaps through our testimony, they would see their sin and glorify the Father, the God in heaven, the true God and the living God, and the God who does not change. And so, Father, sanctify us. Cause us to put to death our sin, the sin that remains within us. Wash us by the blood of your Son. And build us up in the Word by your Holy Spirit. Our Father, we are saddened today. Saddened today about the diagnosis of April Watson. And yet rejoicing that in the last week there's been a little more hope given by doctors. We pray that you would sustain her for longer, if that be your will. That's, of course, our desire. That's what we want, and yet we put her life in your hands as we put all of our lives in your hands, because you're the one who numbers our days. You've determined each step that we will walk, though we make our own plans. You direct us. And so we would plead, maybe selfishly, but we would plead that you would give her more days for us and for Audrey and those in the Watson family. We ask that you would uphold her and grant her faith, strengthen her, knowing again, as we've already prayed, that you are our help in times of trouble. The only name we can call it onto and unto. And so be her help, as you have always been our help. Father, we pray also for Aaron, the rest of the kids at home. Father, we know that you are bringing this about. And so, Father, we ask that you would uphold them. We know, especially for children, perhaps for Aaron, it may be an occasion, a temptation, to blaspheme your name and curse you. And we pray that you would teach them what we're learning in the book of Job, and that this is all your plan, and that you're the God who gives, and you're the God who takes away. And blessed be your name. Father, we ask that you would grant these children, little ones, salvation in Christ, even through this trial and sickness and cancer. Give the Watson children salvation. Use it for your glory. Father, we pray for Wendy's mother, who has fallen and broken her hip. We pray that you would uphold her and strengthen her, that you would grant her quick recovery, if that be your will. And then, Father, we ask also for Tristan, learning that in the last 2 weeks he's lost his grandmother and also his sister to a drug overdose. And so we pray that you would comfort him, and that he would turn his heart to you, as well the rest of his family, that they would come and know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that Tristan would be used as your weak instrument in that. And through him, we pray that you would show your strength and power. Father, we praise you for the great privilege we have to worship you. And what a great privilege it is to hear the cries of children, to know that we are not under your judgment, but you are blessing us. And so we praise you for this, for the little blessings amongst us and any who might be in the womb. We ask that you would turn their hearts today to you and grant them salvation. Even the children now who are present amongst us who are outside the womb, Father, turn their hearts to you as they hear the gospel. Grant them your Holy Spirit in power. Change their hearts and grant them life forever. Father, we're thankful for what happened this past week at Synod, though most here don't know the details. We're thankful that you have brought the outcomes of all of Synod to be, especially the major things, to be on your side. That the elders of your church did not falter. We're thankful for the justice brought about upon that pastor that we've prayed for. That his censure of suspension from the sacraments and being deposed from the ministry was upheld. And we pray that that even as we heard him, that he still believes he's done nothing wrong. Father, what sin and wickedness. And so just as you teach us in 2 Thessalonians 3, we pray that his being away from the table and communing with the saints and with you, that you would bring shame upon him, that he would see his sin and turn back unto you. We pray for the same for the elders who have said they repented and yet don't believe they've sinned. Which makes no sense to me. But Father, we ask that you would convince them of their sin and reveal it unto them, that they would turn and be saved. And then, Father, we pray for all those victims, all those who were abused with their families and the struggles they're going through and may go through for the rest of their life. We pray that you would uphold them and strengthen them, and that this would not be a hindrance to them for the gospel. And yet we know that some who were abused were those of the world, and who now, because of this, curse your name. And Father, we pray that you would somehow change their hearts. And Father, we pray for those deceived in that church as well, who think their pastor has done nothing wrong because they've been lied to so many times. We pray that you would grant them the truth and heal them according to your grace and the gospel. We know that some desire to flee this denomination now because they think they've been dealt a heavy hand, an unjust hand, and yet perfectly according to your word. Father, grant them understanding and wisdom that they would not flee the covenant vows they've made before you. Father, we're thankful that you're the God who brought about unity during Synod, something that seems to be better and better every year, our unity, and that unity alone came by the truth. We praise you for this. And Father, we also ask. We ask for our presbytery, thankful for the exams that Joe Smith came under and passed. We're thankful for this and pray that his ordination and installation in August would be a blessing to the church there in Westminster and Denver. And pray for the others who are to be examined, and Manhattan and Laramie. Pray that you grant them all wisdom and a blessing, and that you would provide ministers for your churches in Houston, San Antonio, and in Colorado Springs. And Father, we cry to you, who is alone our help, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Answer according to your will, of which we know that you will work all things together for our good, and so we can take great comfort. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.